You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Maria Entelman. Maria, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thank you for having me.
Maria, we're talking about your show, of course, at Yancey Richardson called Conjurer. And I want to begin with some specific works, but I want to talk about the relationship between photography and sculpture, too, because, of course, these are incorporating a number of things. But to just jump right into it, there's one called Hypnos. And this is a print that combines a human face and a sculptural part of a face as well, ear and hair. I want to talk about this because sculpture and photography has a special relationship, doesn't it? There's something about sculpture itself when photographed historically, which is also happening here in another way that takes on a life of its own or something. Can we talk about that? Just this image, Hypnos, but also the relationship of sculpture to photography.
Yes. Hypnos, first of all, the title of the piece means sleep in Greek. I am of Greek origin. And in ancient Greek, Hypnos was the god of sleep. And I was very interested in this concept of sleep because it's when we sleep that we really disconnect and we are sealed from technology, which is omnipresent and it is watching us all the time. So this is the only time in our, you know, daily lives that we are, guarded or left alone, let's say. I was reading at that time when I was making this piece, I was reading this book by Jonathan Crary, which is titled 24/7, and it talks exactly about that, how technology is trying to control every moment of our lives, including sleep. So at that time, I was also working with my children, and that the face in that piece is from my son, who was very young at that age, and he was at that time, and he was asleep. And I used the second image, the image of the sculpture, is from the Met, the Metropolitan Museum in New York, and it is an ancient Athenian sculpture. And I'm interested in the relationship between the new and the old, the new being the adolescent and the old being, you know, the ancient sculpture. And I connect them. I create, it is the photograph of the sculpture, but I also create this cultural composition that has the arc which connects the two frames, which is also a very architectural element. It's like a home, or it brings it together. And underneath that, it's not curved, but it is rectangular.
And that rectangle also has, is also symbolic, you're saying. That's part of it, because these shapes here feel almost, it almost looks like a Palladian window, almost like a stained glass window shape from a church. There's an arch built into this.
It's true, yes. I like the curved shapes, and after this piece, I kept using them, and I still use them because I think a lot of, you know, technology being all, you know, technological systems, it's mostly straight lines, and curves are found mostly in nature. Like in nature, you never find a straight line, maybe the horizon, but this is also an illusion. and the curve is more, it has, it emanates a feeling of protection, of care, of shelter, of, you know, the body, you know, creates like a hug, something like that. So yes, it has a religious connotation, like a religious icon.
And let's keep talking about other works there, because others had sometimes an echo of that, or sometimes something very different. One that I really loved was Conjurer. This is a different type of image, right? This is what looks like a beach scene, and because of photography's unusual ability, it looks like an enormous pair of hands, a godlike pair of hands, potentially conjuring the landscape, right? This is almost a magical image. I'd love to talk more about this, because this is also using that ability of photography to change our sense of scale.
Yes, it's also a device, this, you know, scale shift that surrealists used a lot, and I'm really interested in that, in the, you know, illogical, and also the dreamlike. So hands are a recurring theme in my works. I use them a lot, and I think of hands as user hands. Like I think that every, in my work, every gesture is like a technical gesture. It's like a command. So in this piece, I use the landscape, which again starts to appear a lot in my work, because I'm thinking a lot of nature and how inside us there are all these emotional landscapes that connect directly to the, you know, outside nature. And it's like how deeply connected we are with nature, in contrast with artificial intelligent landscape, that it becomes more and more you know, present in our lives as well. So in this particular piece, I'm thinking about magic realism, which is this literary genre from Latin America, where everything is magic. You know, they, like Gabriel García Márquez writes books where, you know, everything around him is alive and it's magic. And I think of this piece as magic automation. So I wonder who is in control. Is it humans or is it technology?
I like that, and it also brings in a certain amount of, as you're saying, you know, kind of magic, but it's also a spirituality in a way, isn't it? I mean, as you say, it's potentially almost religious that way, but we're looking at some kind of force upon the earth, some kind of, I mean, I suppose a conjurer says that, it's the magician as well, or is it?
Yes, of course. This is the idea. But also, I think it reflects a lot what is happening in our planet, you know, with, you know, climate change, and how humans, we have, you know, all this power to affect, you know, change, you know, nature, and we're feeling it right now. A lot, you know, with all the climate disasters that are, that are happening.
Absolutely. And there's another image I wanted to talk about, Hall of Mirrors. This is also quite sculptural, at least three prints in here. And perhaps this is also about the land, but this is a little more enigmatic, a little more maybe pulling from surrealism, as you said, but also has the hand, has a connection to nature, but something feels deeply symbolic about this, right? What's happening isn't clear. It's almost disruptive somehow. It seems to me, in terms of the meaning and how the viewer takes in something like this.
Yes, because here the hand is holding a rock, and a rock is a stone. It's like the first technology that, you know, humans used. It's like a primitive technology, and it can be interpreted as a tool. It can also be interpreted as a weapon. So it has something violent in it. I think of this piece, Hall of Mirrors, as an ideogram. So it has three images that are connected by these pieces of wood. So it's like a semiotic work. It has to be seen as a symbol, and one has to interpret it like that. So you have these two eyes, one on top and one in the bottom, and then they're kind of looking at each other and looking at the web, at the stone. So the pupils, the eye pupil, it's also very interesting to me because it is the mirror, and it is the mirror. This is a Socratic explanation of the pupil. It's where one sees the reflection of himself when he looks at somebody else. So the other person's pupil becomes the mirror of who we are. So we see ourselves through the other's pupil. It's kind of know thyself. This is the way I'm explaining it. So the hand, which is my other son who holds this stone, it intends to break this hall of mirrors, throw it and break it. This piece I made when it was a time when we were starting to use a lot of emojis, and it was like, you know, you would use one emoji in a conversation, you know, written conversation, and that little image contained so many ideas. So that's how I started creating this work, and there were a few others with it, like, as I said again, an ideogram.
Oh, that's so interesting, right? It's a whole different way of sculpting, of making photographs, right? That kind of it's a language, really, that you're developing in this whole series, in this whole show, right? It's a visual language that uses photography, but as you say, it's much more with the symbols, right? This is a type of language saying a specific thought, right? I mean, it's quite different than straight photography, in other words.
Yes, it's a visual semiotic form or something.
Hmm. Yeah, I love talking about that. And there's a few others here that, of course, are, again, quite different forms. The one I also liked is self as a plant. And this is so interesting because the self is kind of disappearing. The plant looks almost like it's splitting the frame, and the collage of a hand and a leg is coming out of it. It's another different than the others, but it has that kind of sense of a magic trick, of a surrealist moment almost.
Yes. This is actually the most recent piece that I made for this show, and I was reading a book about plants. The title of the book is What a Plant Knows. So mysterious, no? Because life on this planet was first plants, and then came humans, and then they have these forms, you know, that they go upwards, and they're so sculptural. And I'm also very interested in phytomorphism. So when we use concepts from plants and trees in the way that we visualize or speak about things, like for example, in computing programming, we use they use, I'm not a programmer, they use logic trees. So they build systems of code or information as trees, looking like trees. And then we have vegetizing technology. Like, or for example, the nerves of the human body, we translate them as plants. Does it make sense? So I'm interested in this relation,
yeah, yeah,
you know, like seeing things through different systems. The words are a lot about systems, even the previous word, you know, the three images connected like that, or even hypnos, they refer to systems. I'm interested in system, technological systems, and systems in nature, and systems in our bodies, and ultimately systems through which we understand the world in our thinking.
Yeah, that's so interesting to talk about. Thanks for sharing this with me. To step back a little bit on this body of work as a photographer, as an artist who's working across media, let's talk a little bit about photography itself. You're using film in most cases. Is that correct? This is 35 millimeter film?
I only use film. I shoot 35 millimeter film. I develop it, and then I scan it, I digitize it, and I work on it digitally on the computer. But my camera, I only use, you know, film camera. And I only use film camera because I like the chemical aspect of it, which is also magic. I love the time processing, not because digital is very immediate, so you shoot and you see, while I enjoy shooting and imagining what I thought and having this expectation to develop and see and scan and look at it. And of course, I enjoy extremely the errors that I make throughout this process. I find them very interesting.
The errors you make throughout this process, because does film allow itself for more errors then? I mean, when you talk about waiting for it to develop, that is also, it strikes me, we've been talking about magic more than once. That's also the magical aspect, right? What will it be? We have to wait and see. But what were the... Is that part of it? And what are the errors that you're talking about?
Because when I shoot, I cannot see the result. So maybe, you know, I make a mistake while I'm with a photometer because everything is manual. Or, you know, I shoot from an angle. Sometimes I also use a tripod and a timer and I shoot myself. So I'm not sure exactly what is happening, if it's the right focus or, you know, there is always the element of surprise. And then again, it's interesting what happens in the development process. There are errors there as well.
Yeah, and I love talking about that process, yeah, because that's something now in the age of digital photography that becomes something almost sensual about that process, isn't there? About film and development and the
of
richness
course.
Of the blacks.
Also, yeah, there is something that it's very important to me that I like to touch the information. So when I touch the film, it's like I touch the film, you know, the grain, you know, the actual medium. It's not digital. It has a physical body, you know. So
yeah,
yes,
absolutely.
It's a little bit old school, but I think a lot of younger photographers also turn into film. And then, you know, there is also, I believe, a technical memory. So when we see film, we understand, we feel the depth of the grain. Even though we cannot really understand, there is something that draws us to the grain rather than the digital photography.
Oh, that's so interesting. I agree. And the camera you're using, can I ask what kind of a camera is that? Is that, you said it was manual, so is there a light meter in it, or do you use a separate light meter? Or?
No, there is I use an M6 Leica with a 50 millimeter lens, very basic. It's like I have to adjust the lighting. But sometimes it breaks, and then I have a light meter on my phone as well, so I can, you know, use a digital external light meter.
So there's a different attention to light then, isn't there? With that Leica, without a built-in light meter, you are doing what was happening with early photography often, wasn't there? You have to have a visual sensitivity to the light, as well as perhaps using meters, but you also are using your own visual sensibility, correct?
Yes. Yes, this is the same. This is talking about this model of camera. It's a camera that I think it was built in the 40s or 50s, and it has never been upgraded. Or maybe they made one M7, but it was nothing, you know. So it's a very classic camera. It's like by using this type of film technology, I defy technological progress of digital photography. It's like I hold myself back and use, you know, old technology, which works perfectly. And it's really beautiful and deep and magic.
Absolutely, yeah. And, we talked about magic a lot. And what?
And romantic.
Yeah, that's true. There's a romance
also,
to that, isn't
it? It's very, you know, like the way you, you know, you shoot, you listen to the sound, then you progress the film, you use your thumb. There is something, you know, really unique about it. And I think you have a different relationship with the apparatus rather than a digital camera, which is great. You know, I'm not, whatever works for anyone, it doesn't really matter, you know. It's just that maybe I'm too romantic and I cannot get over, you know, my relationship with my camera or this type of camera. Maybe, you know, I don't know.
I like that kind of relationship. It's a pleasure talking about it. I could talk more. I really love photography and cameras and the kind of work you're doing. I want to thank you, Maria, so much for talking with me today. For listeners, of course, there's links here to find out more information. Maria, thank you so much for your time and talking about your work.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.